John chapter 14, and our text for this morning is at verse 16. The Lord said to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The hour was drawing near when the Savior would be taken from his disciples, led away to be tried and crucified." The Lord had mentioned this a number of times to his disciples, reminding them that he would not be with them much longer. That is, in his physical frame and presence. For John 13, verse 1, the Lord says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." In the same chapter, verse 33, see how the Lord addresses his disciples. Says unto them, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Evidently the Lord Jesus knew exactly how the disciples felt at the thought of the Savior leaving them. And he addressed them as little children. You get the thought there of how a child might feel at the thought of a parent or parents leaving them. So the Lord addressed his disciples in that way, because they could not bear the thought of not having Christ with them. The Savior was aware of how they felt. And that's why he said to them in chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said it again in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The word trouble means to be disturbed, to be agitated. And so you have the thought that the disciples were greatly troubled. Yea, they were disturbed. They were agitated. They were moved, as the word is translated in John 5, regarding the man lying by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for an angel to come and to disturb or move the waters. And so the disciples were moved. The disciples were troubled. The disciples were disturbed at the thought of the Lord Jesus going away from them. The same word, troubled, is used of the Lord Jesus himself. For we read in John 12, verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled." That's the same word. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. but for this cause I came. And so the Lord, as he looked forward to the cross, the Lord reveals to his disciples, now is my soul troubled. Now is my soul moved. Now is my soul disturbed. Again in John 13 and verse 21, he says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Again, it's the same word. And since the same word is used of the disciples and of the Lord Jesus, does this not demonstrate to us that the Lord then knew exactly how the disciples felt and how he could sympathize with them? Because he was troubled also. And so, being troubled himself, he could sympathize with the disciples. It was as if the Lord was saying to them, I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling, because I have felt exactly the same way. And this is comforting for us to know. For when you and I are troubled in heart or soul, we know the Lord understands, because he has been troubled also, and he can identify with us. Therefore, knowing how troubled and fearful the disciples were, the Lord knew how much they needed to be comforted. It was then that the Savior spoke these words. It was in this context, the context of the disciples being troubled, the disciples being fearful, the disciples being disturbed, the disciples being agitated, that the Lord said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father, and he will send you someone. He will send you one who will comfort you at this time when you are so troubled. He'll comfort you. And of course, Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, describing him as the Comforter four times. Here in John 14, verse 16, again, verse 26 of John 14, John 15, and verse 26. John 16 and verse 7. And so in those four verses, the Lord Jesus speaks about the Comforter. I want to look at that title that the Lord gave to the Holy Spirit. The word, or the name, Comforter, in the Greek is the word parakletos. Parakletos means one called alongside. Parakletos, one called alongside. And that's what the Lord said that the Holy Spirit would do, that he may abide with you, that he will come alongside you. He will come alongside you, he will dwell with you, and shall be in you. So there you see, it's as if the Lord explains the meaning of the name Comforter. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will abide with you. He'll come alongside you. The etymology of the word comfort signifies fortification. Fortification as the result of the company of another. In other words, the disciples would be fortified. The disciples would be encouraged and strengthened and helped in their time of trouble. They would be fortified. To be comforted is to be co-forted. See where the word comes from. Co-forted, comforted, fortified by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Now the name Comforter is translated another way. In 1 John 2 and verse 1. And there we find, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Keep in mind the words of 1 John 2, 1 that we've just read. We'll refer to it in a moment or two again. But the word comforter in 1 John 2 verse 1 is there translated advocate. And it is a name that is given to Christ. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The position of an accused person is strengthened by the advice, by the presence of an advocate. We have seen from time to time a man or a woman accused of a crime, and they're in the court and they're sitting at a table before the judge and the jury. And I'm sure we have noted that beside the accused is his lawyer or his advocate. And they're the accused, and he has his advocate alongside him. And as he's sitting there in the court, listening for his case being heard before the jury, the accused must be comforted to have an advocate by his side, one whom he has called alongside him, and one who will plead his cause and plead his case. Having his advocate sitting alongside him reminds him that he's not alone. He doesn't have to face the judge and the jury alone. He has an advocate beside him, and the advocate, his presence will be a great comfort to him, since he has come alongside him. Now you get the picture and the meaning of the name Comforter. Thus, in a much higher sense, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our advocate. He is our helper. He fortifies us in our time of trouble. He helps us. He strengthens us. Looking further into the title, we notice the words, another comforter. This intimates that the Holy Spirit had a predecessor, because the Lord says, I will pray the Father and he shall send you another comforter. That means they already had a comforter before the Holy Spirit came. And of course, that other comforter is Christ. We said for you just to keep in mind 1 John 2, verse 1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we pointed out the name advocate is the same word, comforter. So if you like, you can read that. If any man sin, we have not only an advocate, we have a comforter in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see what the Lord was saying to the disciples. He was saying to them, I am now presently your advocate. I am now your comforter. But when I go away, I will send you another comforter. I will send you one to take my place. And that one who will take the place of Christ is the Holy Spirit. We know what the Pope of Rome claims. He claims to be Christ's representative upon earth. That is blasphemy. Indeed, that is a sin against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative upon earth. The Lord said, I will pray the Father and he will send thee another comforter, another advocate, another one to take my place on earth. Pope of Rome has no right whatsoever to claim to be Christ's representative on earth. That's the position of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus is not only the advocate, he is also a comforter. We know that. For we read in Matthew 9 and verse 22, the Lord spoke to the woman with the disease. He said to her, Daughter, be of good comfort. The Lord brought that woman comfort. Once again in Mark 10, verse 49, and they called unto the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. That is, Christ is calling for you. Be of good comfort. Christ is here. And he will restore or give to you your sight. Be of good comfort. Christ brought comfort to Bartimaeus. He brought comfort to the woman with the issue of blood. He has brought comfort to us all. And comfort to many during his earthly ministry. And the Lord told his disciples, Yes, I'm going away, and where I go, you cannot come. But then he said, Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, for I will pray the Father, and he'll send you another one, another comfort. One to take my place, and he'll comfort you just as I have comforted. Nobody said, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And he also said, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord said to those terrified, troubled, agitated, fearful disciples, the Lord said, Little children, I will not leave you. You don't need to worry. I'll not leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. We pointed out before the word comfortless is the word orphans. I'll not leave you as orphans. Our hearts go out to those children in the different parts of the world where there are wars and rumors of wars, where there's been bombing and shooting and parents have been killed and children are left as orphans. And they don't have a mother and they don't have a father. They've been taken from them and the children are left as orphans. Christ says, little children, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. But I will send you another comfort, one to take my place. I have been your comfort. The Holy Spirit now will be your comfort. I have been your advocate, the Holy Spirit now will be your advocate. I will not abandon you. For as I have comforted you, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. As I have been with you, the Holy Spirit will be with you. As I have strengthened you, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. In other words, he's really saying, you don't need to worry. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So having looked at the meaning of the word of the name, Comforter, I want to come now, first of all, for this morning, I want to look at the absence of a comforter. The absence of the comforter. You look there at our text, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, listen to this, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. So here the Lord is speaking about two groups of people. He's talking about those who know the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about those who do not know the Holy Spirit. He spoke to the disciples about knowing the Holy Spirit, and because they knew him, then they would have the Comforter with them. But if they didn't know him, that is, if they didn't know Christ, then they wouldn't have the Comforter with them. There's the absence of the Comforter. If you know the Lord, then the Comforter will dwell with you and shall be in you. But the Lord said something else. He spoke about those who did not know the Holy Spirit. You see, to know Christ is to know the Holy Spirit. To know Jesus Christ is to know the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't know the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit, then you don't have a comforter. You don't have one to come alongside you in times of trouble. You don't have one to fortify you. You don't have one who will comfort you. There's the absence of the Comforter. And those who know not Christ, as far as they are concerned, there's the absence of the Comforter. Notice how the Lord identifies them, identifies those who do not know the Holy Spirit and who do not have the Comforter. He first of all speaks about his love. Verse 16 again, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Who's he talking to? When we look at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. So you see the connection. If ye love me, I will pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. And so, the comforter, the Lord said, would be sent to those who love the Lord. To those who love the Lord, and if you love the Lord, you'll keep his commandments. So that begs the question this morning, do you love the Lord? To love the Lord is to know the Lord as Savior, as Sovereign, and as the Shepherd of your soul. To love the Lord is to give him your heart, your soul, your life. Do you love the Lord? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now that's what it is to love the Lord. We have to ask the question, do you love the Lord then? A man cannot say that he loves the Lord if at the same time he loves the world. You cannot say you love the Lord if you love the world and the things of the world. You cannot say that you love the Lord if you love the world and you love the sin of the world. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other. It must be the Lord first, second, and third. To love the Lord is to love him with all thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. 1 John 5, verse 4, we read, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. To love the Lord is to be born of God. To love the Lord is to be born again. And you must be born again. To love the Lord, to know the Lord, and to know the Holy Spirit. Because when someone is born again, the moment they are born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell with them. We've already covered that in this study. And the Lord has told his disciples, He will abide with you, yes. He'll not only abide with you, He shall be in you. But if you don't know the Lord, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then you don't have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you, then you don't have a comfort, either in Christ or the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Lord? We often sing that lovely hymn, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I desire. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. Jesus is now. For thee, all the pleasures of sin I desire. You see, when you love the Lord, all your pleasure is in Him. All your joy and your happiness is in Him, not in the world. Can you say that? Can you say today, for thee all the pleasures of sin I resign? For to know Christ as Savior is to hate sin. Have you ever cried then, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Have you ever acknowledged your sin and acknowledged that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy God? If not, then you don't have the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the Comforter. The Comforter is absent in your life. If you know and love Christ, then you will know and love the Holy Spirit. But if you know not Christ as Savior, then you do not know the Holy Spirit as Comforter. So not only is Christ absent in your life, and in your heart, and in your soul, the Holy Spirit is absent too. That then leads us to consider something else. We've spoken here first of all about love. You need to love the Lord. You need to be born of the Spirit to know the Holy Spirit. And if you're not born again, you're not saved by grace, and you have not the Holy Spirit abiding in you, then the second point is, that means you're lost. That means you're lost. The soul that has not been cleansed in the precious blood of Christ is a lost soul. This is vividly illustrated for us by the Lord Jesus Himself. He was teaching His hearers about being lost. In Luke chapter 15, he told three stories dealing with the lost. In Luke chapter 15, he speaks first of all about the lost sheep. And what he's saying is, a man, a woman, a sinner is just like a lost sheep. Isaiah said that all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. But here the Lord tells the story about a lost sheep. Shepherd had 100 sheep. In 99, but there was one missing. He left the 99 and he went in search of the lost sheep. And when he found that lost sheep, verse 5 tells us, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Talking about the soul, it's lost. We'll go after that which is lost until he find it, and when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Then the Lord goes on to say, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. talking about he being the shepherd going and finding the lost sheep and saving the lost sheep. He talked about the lost sheep, he talked about the lost silver, about the woman who lost the coin, one piece, and she lights a candle and she searches the house diligently until she finds it. The Lord says in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So you have the lost and the found. The soul is lost. And there's only one person who is capable of finding that lost soul, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind, if you have not experienced the new birth, if you cannot say today, I'm saved by the grace of God, if you cannot say today, my sins are all under the blood, then you're lost. And I say that on the authority of God's word. Not only are you lost in time, but lost for all eternity. The Lord spoke about the lost sheep and the lost silver, and he talked about the lost son. The son who went away and joined himself to the citizens of the far country, came to an end of himself, and then repented and came home. And the father rejoiced because his lost son, he said, this my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. And you see, if you're lost, you don't have the Holy Spirit as your comforter. If you don't have a Savior, you don't have a comforter. Just as there was no comfort for the soul that we read about in Luke 16. For in Luke 16 we read about the rich man and Lazarus. And even though Lazarus was a poor beggar, lying at the gate to the house of the rich man. And there was Lazarus lying there, and the only comfort he had, as far as any companionship he had, were the dogs of the street. And they would come and lick his wounds. But when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels to glory. The rich man also died. Listen to this. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. No comfort. Lazarus had been comforted in his life. He belonged to the Lord. That's evident because he was carried to the bosom of Abraham, carried to heaven. But the rich man knew not the Lord, and he wasn't comforted in life, and he was not comforted in eternity. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He knew not Christ, and he knew not the Holy Spirit. He knew not the Savior, so he knew not the Comforter. Why? Because he was lost. Why? Because he didn't love the Lord. me now to consider the loneliness. How often have we heard people say, and we had to face a tragedy or maybe a death in the family, some trouble in their life, and they said, I don't know how I could have got through that without the Lord. To testify to the goodness of the Lord and to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. For in the midst of their tragedy, in the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their suffering, the Comforter, what has he done? He has come alongside. He has fortified them. He has held them up. He has brought them through. And that's been their testimony. I don't know how I could have made it without the Lord being with me, without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what must it be like for the person who doesn't know the Lord, who does not have the Holy Spirit, who does not have the Comforter? What must it be like for them? Death or sorrow or suffering comes to them. They're lonely. There's no one to fortify them. There's no one to come alongside. There's no one to support them. No one to comfort them. Yes, our family and our friends rally round, yes, and they put their arms around us, and they can tell us we're praying for you, and we appreciate that. But they can't touch the heart. They can't bind up the heart that's broken. Only the Comforter can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Would that not be a very lonely experience then? The absence of the Comforter. Because they don't know the Lord. And not knowing the Lord, they don't know the Spirit. No one to help to bring you through. No one to hear your sighing. No one to heal the broken heart. No one to hold you up when the burden gets so heavy. Because that's what the Lord by His Spirit is able to do. Didn't He say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What to do? To heal the broken heart and to bind up the wounds. So Christ is able to do. Well, He's not here physically with us. So what did He do? He sent us another Comforter. He sent us the Holy Spirit who could bind up our wounds and heal the broken heart. And one of those for whom the Comforter is absent, and they face their troubles and their trials alone. No one to comfort. No one to draw alongside. Their plight may be described in the words of Lamentation 1, verse 2. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, among all her friends, she hath none to comfort her. She's lonely. I must say, my heart goes out to people who don't know the Lord. Perhaps a loved one dies and there's no one to comfort them. And they look for comfort in other things. I mentioned before about a young lad who was killed tragically in a car accident on Highway 28. The police phoned me because I happened to know the family. And I met with the family, and as I was with the young lad's mother and father, a knock came to the door. There were two ladies. They belonged to some organization in the town who would visit homes that had been lately bereaved. They tried to bring comfort. The two ladies came in, offered their condolences, and then handed the mother a teddy bear, a stuffed toy. And that was all those women had. And that was all that they could give those two, or those parents, to comfort them. I don't condemn them, I don't criticize them. That was the best they could do. That was comfort in that, isn't it? Again, sometimes others, in the heart of the midst of their troubles, they'll turn to drink. And they hope, somewhere or another, that the drink will deaden their pain and help them and comfort them. No. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Just a couple of illustrations, but we know others will look to the world to find something to help them and comfort them in their time of loss. Something to help them and comfort them in their time of sorrow. But they don't have the Lord. And if they don't have the Lord, they don't have the Comforter. But the person who has the Lord has the Comforter. One who comes alongside. One who will, as it were, sit with us and minister to us. And one who's able to bind the broken heart. The answer in time of sorrow and trouble and trial, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18:24, a friend sticketh closer than a brother. What does he do? He comes alongside. Proverbs 17:17, a friend, this is Christ, a friend that loveth at all times. He's a brother. Born
further adversity. Can I get a better brother than that? Can I get a better friend than that? Can I get a better comforter than that? Now tell me, do you know him? Do you love him? Can you say with assurance that whatever comes, the Lord will bring you through? Whatever comes, the Comforter will come alongside. You know not Christ, you trust that after today you will. Because what will it be for you when sorrow or suffering come your way and with no one to comfort? That will be a lonely experience. I want to go on with the study, Lord willing, this evening. So let's bow our heads together now. Lord our God, we bow before thee in the Savior's name. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the love of the Holy Spirit. That love that pursued us. That love that strove with us. That love that did not give up on us, but brought us one day to the place of repentance. We were glad that all who have repented have the Holy Spirit not only abiding with them, not only coming alongside them, but one who abides in them, in the heart. And Lord, for any this morning, and they've never ever asked thee to save them, they've never come and repented of their sin, so they know not Christ, and they know not the Holy Spirit, Lord, save them today. Bring them under the blood today. Have that friend, the lovers of all times as their Savior. The Holy Spirit as their comfort. Lord, write this word upon hearts. May the Lord be with us this day. And thy will return us to thy house this evening. And may learn more about our dear Savior. Grant us now, Lord, traveling mercy as we part the one from the other. May thy hand be upon us as we go to our home. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever.